One morning, Nancy and I got up and started praying about how weary we were and so on, and we felt like it was time for us to retire. We prayed about that for a month or two, and then knew it was. We just knew it was.
Who did you talk to about that?
We talked to the Lord and talked to each other. I called the bishop about it, that we were thinking about it, and got up and announced it on Sunday morning at the church. That's the first they knew about it. I announced it in November that we'd be retiring at the end of January.
The board officials of the church and all, nobody knew it. It was the first.
Nancy and I had a strange ministry. We never asked to go anywhere, never sought to go anywhere. When God called us, we went, and God came and blessed. We felt that we're still called, but somehow we felt like it was time for that chapter to close. So we announced that, and in January of 2001, we retired there. Didn't really retire.
And what does that mean, retirement?
I don't know. By the way, when I left ORU, I was asked to be on the trustees up there, and I joined the trustees, then became chair of the trustees up there, and we built another campus in Florida while I was up there.
Asbury
in Florida, Asbury Seminary. It's in Wilmore, Kentucky, and now in Orlando, Florida. Maxie Dunham, who was the president of Asbury Seminary and a classmate of mine at Candler back when we were doing our master's program, called me and said, "We're building that campus in Orlando, Florida, and I've got to hire more professors than we can afford." He said, "What about you? You could teach preaching and church administration and evangelism." He taught evangelism at Emory, didn't you? That's right. He said, "You could teach those three, and I could put off hiring those professors." I said, "I don't want to do anything full-time, and I don't want to leave Tulsa." He said, "Well, what about part-time?" I said, "Okay." I taught about one or two courses a year for 6 years. I asked Maxie how long you can be there. He said, "3 years will do it." I stayed 6 years, and he hadn't brought it up. So after 6 years, I said, "Max, you're not going to hire those other professors till I quit." So I quit yesterday. We started hiring those professors. There were other people who came in and taught those courses when I couldn't get to those places. So we had people there to kind of bridge them over that, and I knew that would happen. Then after that, we came home and rested about 6 months. Then Bishop called, and we went to Collinsville. That was a nine-month time, and we loved there. They had had a study of their church, and they were ready to build their next building. So we got into the want-to process and the building of the building, and when we left, they were ready to start that building. Then after that, I guess the high point of my ministry is family-wise, they asked Chris and me to do father and son retreats all over the United States.
We should point out Chris became a minister.
Chris is my son.
Yes, but he's an ordained Methodist minister?
Yes. He has Abiding Harvest United Methodist Church on Elm and 111th Street, across from Tulsa Technology. He had ministered in Georgia and then came back and ministered with us on staff. When I went there, he was youth minister at First Methodist. And they said, "What if you and the senior minister don't get along? What's going to happen then?" He said, "He'll have to leave. I got seniority." Ministered there, then ministered in Houston with Bill Henson, a friend of ours, and built a second church there. He and Bill exchanged pulpits. And then he heard about this new church that was going to start in Tulsa and came back here and went to preach to his high school friends. He came back and been there now 16, almost 17 years. There are five jurisdictions in the United States, divide the United States into five parts. And fathers and sons came. Sometimes we'd have 3,000 or 4,000 fathers and sons there. Sometimes we'd have 300. Sometimes we'd have 1,000. Chris or I, one, would preach the first sermon. And then we'd do a dialogical sermon, and then who hadn't preached the first sermon, preached the third sermon. Those guys brought their sons, and they slept together in the same rooms. We talked about Chris growing up, and Chris had always put me on the spot. Mm-hmm. Said, "Dad, I came home from Emory, where you went to school, and started telling you my dark pages. They told me if you were so affirming because you didn't know about my dark pages. A boy be a boy, and you won't tell your dad and your mother about your dark pages. While I was telling you about that, you got up and left the room, mad. Why'd you do that? I'd like you to explain to these fine fathers and sons why you treated me that way." And I said, "Well, son, I taught there, and some seminaries feel like they have to strip away what you believe and put back in your mind what they believe. That was a part of CPE, right? Clinical Pastoral Education." "Right," he said. I said, "I knew what they were doing with you, and I got mad at those brother and sister professors who were doing that to my son." He said, "Oh, that's what's going on." He reached over and picked me up and turned all the way around and sat me back down. He's strong enough to do that. But One man told us the next morning, my son and I didn't sleep a wink last night. We talked all night long, but I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. We found each other last night.
That's great.
That was good.
But a minister never retires, do they?
Not really. You know, I've looked real hard. There's no retirement clause in the Bible.